It's Whiskey Exclusives on Whiskey FM, keeping you up to date with the world of whiskey.
So why don't we talk a bit about Ronnie's Reserves,
yes.
Which are your new range coming out in conjunction with Berry Brothers and Rudd. So you are, well, how would you describe the range?
Well, I was approached last year by the chair, Lizzie Rudd, saying, Ronnie, we've got stocks of whiskey. We would very much like to have some sort of legacy as you approach the sunset of your career, which was not a way of saying goodbye, but simply pointing out that wouldn't it be fun for you to select a few casks, which we've already done actually with John Ramsay before. So John Ramsay was the master blender for Edgington, and he was a great friend of ours. And when he retired about 12 years ago, we said to him, here are the keys to the distillery warehouses, go out and select some casks. So he put together what he called it, his legacy. John Ramsay Legacy, which is still available, I think, around in certain markets, the collector's markets anyway. Delicious, absolutely delicious dram of Glenrothes, which he put together. And I'm really copying what he did, because I'm more really associated with vintages, I wanted to select single casks from different decades. So I have chosen casks from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and a total of 7 casks, 6 of which are going to be released in Burns Night this year, 2020, and then the last cask, 1968, is going to be released in mid-2020. And each one will really be representative of the distillery, obviously, but also the style that that distillery was producing in those decades. And it's quite interesting how it's evolved.
Yeah.
And I think, as I was mentioning earlier, the effect of maturation really is only coming through in the sort of 90s, late 80s and 90s. We've got 189 and then the 90s. And prior to that, it was very much serendipitous as to whether a cask was going to develop in the way in which I wanted it to develop. It was in the 1960s and 1970s, the process of producing whiskey was very much slower, and it was very much less controlled, and it was very much finger-in-the-air stuff. And, oh, Jock, you've, or Johnny, you've forgotten to, that mash. Remember, you left it. You left it over the weekend, or the fermenters were left for 48 hours too long, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But actually, to the benefit probably of the flavour of the spirit, and those days I kind of love. So the 1968, which is not going to be available until June of 2020. And that's obviously a spirit that is 50 years old. To me, that spirit is all about the richness and texture. And it's been put into a refill hogshead. So probably it's been used at least once before. It may have been used twice before. But the reason it's still fresh, 1968, is because it's just taken that length of time to mature. Then we got a 69. Which is called Curriculum Vitae, the story of my life. And it does sort of, it's really the beginning of my career, 1969. I was still at school, but I just had an interest, probably that's the time when I first drank my very first Scotch whisky. And then we go through the 1970s, with two of the 1970s, the 75, 79. And again, very unhurried, very, in full, these ones have got the richness to them, which you don't find in whiskies of today. The 1992 was a very interesting one because it was a rogue cask. It wasn't good enough to be put into a vintage. And I was sure, it was a group of 6 casks actually, I was sure that they could one day be good. And every two or three years I would test them, and then after 10 years, I think it was 10 years after, it was almost exactly, I was going to consign them. If they didn't taste good, I was going to consign them to blends. And it was as if they actually heard what I was saying, because they changed magically from something which was quite austere into something which was wonderfully exotic and Far Eastern in style and floral and just absolutely beautiful. So that's why that one went into a cask. And each one of these really has a point, and it was all to do with either moments in my life that I remembered, or points in my career that I've had enormous fun with. So the 90s were very much more sort of, by this stage, computerization had come into the world of whiskey. I mean, big time. And so standardization had come into it, and defined whiskies, obviously that road cask in 1992, but the 1995 was just the epitome of what great style of whiskey you could produce with modern techniques, but by putting it into a second fill hoggy, bourbon hoggy, and just delicious. So these I've tasted over a period of about now 18 months, I suppose, 2 years, and these are the most distinguished variety of casks that I have, a distinguished cask that I have found in the distillery that are still in existence. So it's taken me quite a lot of time to do this, but it's an enormous pleasure, and I was hugely proud that Lizzie Rudd should have selected me to do that. So each bottle is going to have, apart from the very old ones, is going to have a caricature of Ronnie Cox on the front, either in my after-dinner kit or a kilt or quake, tasting a quake.
It's such a privilege, quake, isn't it, to have this?
Well, it's a lovely thing to happen. Yeah. I'm very honoured, and really, I don't think that sort of thing is necessary, but it's a very, very kind thing to do, and it seems to be accepted very readily in Asia, where we've launched it already. We've done a little bit of PR over there, so there's been great interest over there. So we, you know, seven casks is not a huge amount.
Well, the numbers are very limited, aren't they?
So we have. I'm afraid it's allocated, and it's not something that I like doing, but the commercial side of Berry Brothers and Ryan says, well, look, we can't ship it all to one customer. I remember once when I went to Russia and I had just 12 bottles of quite expensive, maybe it was £3,000 bottle whiskey. And one chap before the dinner said, Ronnie, I'll buy the lot. And I said, no, in the UK we like to offer it to all the guests, you know, say one bottle each. And actually, I only sold 3/4 of them that evening, so I could have actually done a deal beforehand to that one chap. But, you know, I have travelled the world. I've been lucky enough to travel the world and enjoy meeting hundreds of different people. And it seems to me very logical that it should be offered to as many people as possible, rather than just allow one person to buy, you know, the whole lot.
Yeah. And for our UK listeners, where I would assume they'll be on the Berry Brothers website?
So Berry Brothers will be selling it as of Burns Night, at the end of January. Very exciting stuff.
Yes,
so there'll
indeed.
Be, yes, all will be available, except of course the 1968, which is not yet available.
Which I think is going to be retailing at £3,800.
The 68, that's right, and the 69, not far short of that.
3,600. But there are only 65 bottles to buy of the 68. So
for the whole world, that is. Yes, yes. So for the UK, we've only got a few, less than a dozen.
Go very quickly onto the computer.
Well, yeah, it's. I mean, collectors will buy it, and that would be great. I'll be happy. Whether they enjoy it when it's in the bottle, whether they enjoy it when it's out of the bottle, it's. The thing is, of course, you know, it's like if you buy art, you keep it on the wall. Those people that keep their art hidden down in the cellar for value's sake is rather a waste, isn't it?
It's such a shame, yeah.
It's a real shame. But I can see there's a reason for doing it on both counts. Frankly, you know, I've had such fun in the industry. To me, it'd be really lovely if people actually enjoyed and wrote to me, rather like somebody writing book and you get a reader coming back to you saying what a wonderful content it is. It makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
So if people do try it, that's hopefully they like it, because you know, I've spent a long time trying trying to choose the very best casks. Then they would give me great delight. So if they keep it, the bottle there, I mean, and if they come to Berry Buns and Rye, I'd be very happy to sign them, actually. So if they just bring it into Berry Brothers and Rudd. And I have each one of the caricatures painted by my great mate, Loon Hillary, who is one of Scotland's foremost caricaturists, has a common thread, which is the red socks. And the red socks, Ronnie Cox red socks, I'm known as, because I always wear red socks, in honour, really, of one of my ancestors who was murdered by Robert the Bruce in a church on the west coast of Scotland. And the rumour was that he always wore red hose, so wrappings round his legs, so that if he was wounded in battle, the blood wouldn't show up. It helps me enormously in the mornings when I just reached my sock drawer and I've only got one colour.
You don't have to think too much about what colour to go for. Right. Fantastic. So, Whiskey FM listeners, you've heard it here first. You are more than welcome to pop along to Berry Brothers, and Ronnie will sign your bottle for
you. Yes, and ask for Ronnie if he's still around. We'll do it quite quickly.
Fantastic. Well, Ronnie, thank you so much for spending time with me today. It's just been fascinating and delightful.
My delight, and good luck with everything. I think it's such a wonderful idea. And I hope that you will have hundreds of thousands of followers before too long.
Thank you.
It's a great concept. And I really enjoy, A, doing this sort of thing, but B, the excitement of getting the next generation coming in. I have children who are 24, 21, and they're getting really interested in the world of whiskey. Something which I was trying to promote for ages and ages, but it's not a one-man job, this. It's to do with social media, it's to do with all sorts of other things that have happened, the innovation in the world of whiskey over the last 40 years, that's really exciting. So the future is bright, future is whiskey.